One story that I don't think really received the attention it deserved this week in terms of its full ramifications was that EU ruling against the tech giant Apple, ordering the Irish government to collect 13 billion euros, that's about 20 billion Australian dollars, for back taxes over the last decade. It's a phenomenal amount, but as various commentators have suggested, it's hard to think of a bigger global decision. Legal, yes, but with such wider implications about tax, about foreign relations, commerce, and boy, does it open up a whole can of worms. The US administration is furious because they accuse the Commission, the Europeans, of targeting American companies. And the business of America is business after all, as the saying goes. The Irish government's not happy and says this morning it'll appeal, which is Apple's line too. And the news is the EU Commission isn't stopping there. Other big multinationals are in its sights too, it said. Our former Treasurer Joe Hockey, now sitting in Washington, must be watching with special interest, given that he made this discussion so centre stage when we hosted the G20 in Brisbane in 2014. I remember listening to him there. So to talk us through this, I'm joined by Kerry Sadiq, Professor of Taxation at the Queensland University of Technology Business School. Kerry's also a senior tax advisor to the Tax Justice Network in the UK, and this week wrote a very interesting piece in The Conversation online journal. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning, Geraldine.
How significant do you regard this decision to be?
Well, obviously, everyone is talking about that $13 billion amount as being significant, and it certainly is. But if reports are correct, Apple is holding hundreds of billions of dollars offshore. So the amount is unlikely to be significant for them. And we know now, as of last night, that Ireland and Apple are going to appeal the decision. So it's likely to be years before we see any actual money. But beyond this, there's two very important implications. First, it's the message that that European Commission is sending. It's putting multinationals on notice that aggressive tax planning of this type is just not acceptable. It's telling countries entering into secret deals with taxpayers that's not acceptable. And it's also sending the US a message that it's not going to bow to pressure. Secondly, there's going to be a ripple effect. So what will other multinationals do in light of this decision? And we already know that the Commission has investigated a deal with Luxembourg and the car manufacturer Fiat, the Netherlands and coffee retailer Starbucks, and they're currently investigating deals between Luxembourg with both Amazon and McDonald's. If we actually have a look at the a list published by the Irish Times in 2015 of the top 1,000 companies by turnover, Microsoft, Google, Dell, Pfizer, Facebook are all in the top 20. So right now, we're not seeing a lot of chatter from them, but we're likely to do so in the future. And they're all concerned, not necessarily about the tax bill, but obviously about reputational risk as well. Because as consumers, all the listeners out there buy these products. And I'm sure everyone's starting to think now with Apple. You know, we own lots of Apple products. Do we really want to support a multinational that is engaging in such aggressive tax planning practices? So it's really brought to light what's been going on.
Well, not wanting to make any excuses for Apple, but I was surprised to read that, pardon me, the US has the highest statutory business rate, tax rate in the industrial world at 35%, and that this is clearly behind a lot of them trying to shift their profits worldwide. I had no idea about that.
Yes, absolutely, Geraldine. And in that sense, the US should be looking at their own tax practices. It's their rules that are sending companies offshore and then allowing the same companies to keep those profits offshore without them being taxed until they're eventually repatriated. However, the US haven't been overly supportive of some of the changes to our international tax system. You know, they have been part of the BEPS project, the Base Erosion and Profit Shifting project, which came out of the G20 that you spoke about in your introduction. But a lot of that has been lip service. And Apple's been saying to us that that we follow the law and we pay all the taxes we owe. And I'm not sympathetic towards Apple, but it is understandable that they're running that line because they're saying we are following the law.
Well, I suppose that is the intriguing thing that The Economist has pointed out, is that to make a tax retrospective, to make a ruling about a retrospective tax is a really very, very significant decision to make. And it must, they are suggesting, The Economist, prompt various companies to think whether it's worthwhile investing in Europe, because maybe none of the agreements are sort of really valid. Now, maybe that's what The Economist would say, but I wonder what you think about that.
Well, we need to go behind this decision. And while the decision came out that Apple has to pay $13 billion, or more correctly, Ireland needs to collect $13 billion from Apple, the decision itself by the Commission wasn't actually to do with tax laws. So the Commission hasn't encroached on Ireland's sovereignty. It was actually about EU laws. And there is a treaty, an EU treaty, called the Treaty on the Functioning of the EU, which deals with state aid rules. And what the EU was looking at is whether these selective tax practices amounted to state aid. So the Commission was investigating into Apple and considering the legality
of giving unfair advantage.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't actually about tax. Tax is effectively just the case study for the application of this treaty provision.
So is that what they're also investigating with other multinationals? Because she's flagged, the commissioner. I might add, she also said she flagged in 2015 they were going to be looking at this. She said this should come as no surprise. And everybody obviously averted their gaze. And now she's really gone for it and said there's more to come.
Yes. That is exactly what the commissioner is talking about, and it's that treaty provision that they're looking at. And you are correct. This investigation started in 2014. We've already seen the decisions in relation to Fiat and Starbucks. The issue there, though, was that the decisions were around $20 to $30 million. So the amounts didn't seem overly
dramatically
significant.
Different.
Mm. Exactly. So it didn't get picked up. It wasn't run with. But as I said, they have already started investigations into Amazon and McDonald's. We know that. They've said that.
Maybe you could just quickly explain to us, for the listeners, what exactly Apple was doing.
Yes. Well, that's a really interesting question. And lots of people think it's incredibly complicated, but it's actually very simple. Apple takes advantage, or was taking advantage, of two different types of mismatches. So first, Apple is global. So it doesn't care where its profits are booked, as long as they're large profits. However, tax rules are domestic, and sometimes those domestic rules don't match up. So with the arrangement that the Commission was investigating, Apple was able to have a company that was known as being stateless. That is, no one got to tax it. And that was simply because of a mismatch between Irish tax laws and US tax laws. Now, Ireland has changed their tax rules as of 2015, so hopefully that's no longer a problem. But secondly, there's another mismatch, because Apple needed to get the profits into that stateless company. It did so again because of the mismatch between Apple being global. They think globally. They want as much profit as they can get. And tax laws treating all the bits of Apple as if they're separate. So each part gets taxed separately. However, what happens is Apple does business with each other. So each of the separate parts across borders charge prices for goods and services. Now, those charges are a great way to shift profits. We know that. So we have in place laws that are known as transfer pricing rules. And they require those prices to be at arm's length. What an independent party
means you, in other words, you can't give yourself an insider advantage.
No, exactly. But that's very hard to determine with a company like Apple. What is the Apple intellectual property worth? They don't sell on the open market. They only do internal transactions. So the rulings that were in question that the commission was investigating said that the stateless company could charge certain prices for things like their intellectual property, and that's how those profits were actually transferred.
So, yeah, so it's clearly a device. It's clearly egregious. And, have we got to the point where it's starting to come out in plain sight, which is, I do think, really, my feeling is it began, with some momentum back in the G20 and 2014, that the world won't cop this anymore? So has business got to accept that something is shifting, or are we in for a big trade war between the US and Europe, which has been mooted?
It has, but at the end of the day, for companies, they have to operate somewhere. And I think in that sense, it's incredibly important that we work on cooperation globally. Now, when I say cooperation globally when it comes to tax rules, that doesn't mean we all need to have the same tax rate, but we need to cooperate when it comes to addressing this tax base erosion and profit shifting. And there's been some incredible initiatives there. And as you mentioned, the G20 meeting in 2014, but it actually started quite a ways before that with the G20. It just gained a lot of momentum around 2014. And the OECD out of that has what is known as the inclusive framework for collaboration on the implementation of the recommendations to tackle these problems. There's over 100 countries that are part of that initiative. Now, the US is a member of that, but a lot of countries are incredibly supportive of these initiatives. And we've seen countries like France and Germany come out and support the European Commission's decision. So I think there is a lot of support out there. And I believe that extra pressure will be put on the US for them to actually do something, because at the end of the day, they're missing out on a lot of revenue themselves.
Well, quite. And of course, it comes at a very interesting political time with the American election, coming up. And the US Treasury is clearly just furious about this and is sending missives across the channels and so on. So I wonder what you think the US government might do.
Yes, well, as you say, the US hasn't just reacted to this decision. They were reacting to the whole investigation right from the start. And in February this year, the US Department of Treasury wrote a letter to the Commission President urging him to reconsider the investigation. Only last month, they came out with a white paper on the topic.
Yes, quite extraordinary.
Yes, it really is. They're very concerned about it. But they're really wanting to stay with the status quo and seem to be afraid of changes. But I think pressure is going to come down to forcing changes.
Now, interestingly, just a couple of things before I let you go. The Australian Tax Office rattled the pickets, as Neil Chenoweth wrote in the Fin Review yesterday, on this controversy last year, with a joint investigation it ran with five other countries to focus on the big six tech companies, including Apple. So what will be the implications for us, do you think?
Yes, well, the consequences certainly go well beyond Apple. They go well beyond the EU, well beyond the US. So, for example, Apple has already restructured. They've started being more cooperative with tax authorities. And we know that Apple in Australia no longer has any advanced pricing arrangements as of last year. That's a type of tax ruling, which the European Commission was looking at. We also know the ATO is auditing Apple for their 2012 year. That's been reported in the media. So the Commission's decision is going to give other countries around the world the political will to investigate multinationals and also validate the kinds of inquiries that have been going on. So in that sense, I imagine there's some very nervous multinationals out there.
I didn't think I'd hear that very often. Very quickly, I noticed the lobbyist Mark Texter says, we're entering the period of tax wars instead of trade wars. Do you think that could be right?
I do think it's correct. We haven't seen this kind of thing happen in tax before, but in an era of austerity post-GFC, governments need to raise revenues.
Okay, Kerry, thank you so much. I think you did make that understandable. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Geraldine. A pleasure.
Kerry Sadiq, who's Professor of Taxation at the School of Accountancy at the QUT Business School. And it really is a fascinating decision that it's sort of crept up and boom, it's landed.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.